Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. It's so wonderful to be able to gather as God's people. We might be separated in person. We might be all over the country. I know some of our church family are on holiday this week, but we are here together to meet, to be God's people, and to further his kingdom. We're going to hear from him this morning. We're going to praise him as we continue in our Psalm series looking at Psalm 44. My name is Katrina, and I'm going to be leading our service today. So as we get started, let's just take a moment to take stock, to think about our week, to think about what's gone before us, what might be coming up, and just to bring all those things to God in a moment of silence. And then I'm going to pray for us. And so let's pray these words together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. What one thing this week can you say thank you to God for? We can all think of one thing at least. There's probably been many things that we can say thank you to God for. But also, what one thing do we need to come to God and say sorry for this morning? I know I can think of lots of things just in this week alone that I need to come before God and admit. But we come before God knowing that He will forgive us, knowing that He hears us, and knowing that He loves us. And that's part of what I love about being a Christian is that I can come to God and I can come and be real with him. I don't have to hide the bad things that I've said and done. I can come to him honestly and with humility and say sorry to him and knowing that he hears and forgives us. So let's with confidence this morning, but also with humility, say our confession together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are. Direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Well, we're going to move on and we're going to go over to Rhiannon now, who is going to lead us as she introduces our theme for the day.
I wonder what your favourite song is. It could be something upbeat that makes you want to put on your best party clothes, essential fairy wings. It might make you want to get your dancing shoes on and pull out some fantastic dancing moves. Or your favourite song might be something quite slow, or something that reminds you of a special time, a place, or a person. Now, today we're going to be continuing looking at the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 44. And that was written as a song. It was written for God's people to remind them who God is and what God has done for them in the past. It was written for them when they were going through a hard time. It doesn't say exactly why or how God's people were suffering, but the words of Psalm 44 tell us they were not happy. So what do you do when you're unhappy? What do we do? Well, we might go for some food. We might have a bit of a sweet tooth. Or for those who are a bit savoury, we might have a bit of a crisp. Or we might watch our favourite TV programme, curl up in front of the TV. Or we might have our favourite teddy and give them a really big hug. Or We might talk to our friends about what is upsetting us. They sang about how special and what a privilege it is to come to God and know God is with them through all the unhappy times. They sang about God's faithfulness. God is forever and will never, ever leave them. They sang about God to remind them and to encourage them to keep going even through the unhappy times. So, whether we're dancing to our favourite song or if we're feeling a bit unhappy, please remember that God is always with us and is with you. Let's look for the things through the service, reasons that we can trust in God and praise Him despite how we feel. From the words in Psalm 44, our God is a faithful God.
Well, Rhiannon has just told us wonderfully about how the people of God in the Psalms, they sang to him. They sang about his faithfulness. They sang, no matter how they were feeling, they sang of his goodness.
This morning's reading is Psalm 44, beginning to read at verse 1. We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days and days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. You are my king and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies, through your name we trample our foes. I put no trust in my bow, my sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing from their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbours, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, the people shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me, because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. All this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We had not been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us, rescue us because of your unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't want to be your friend anymore. What, sometimes a phrase you hear in school as you're walking across the playground, perhaps particularly from some of the younger pupils. Perhaps we can all think back to the days of childhood and remember what it was like to be told that someone didn't want to be your friend. But of course, it's not just in childhood. I'm not really into social media, but I'm told that one of the worst things that can happen to you on Facebook is to be unfriended by somebody. And believe it or not, there's a whole series of online self-help groups for those who've gone through the trauma of being unfriended by somebody on Facebook. Well, today's Psalm 44, is about the writer's feelings after being unfriended. But what the writer of Psalm 44 is describing is much worse than being upset by somebody on Facebook.
The psalm is a lament because the writer feels that the whole land of Israel has been unfriended by God. They feel abandoned by God and face the scorn and derision of those around us, as it says in verse 13. In verse 9, the psalmist says, "Now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies." And the writer goes on to explain that you crushed us and made us haunt the jackals in verse 19. It's all summed up by verse 22 of the psalm. "For your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Inevitably, in the face of all this, the writer poses a series of questions to God. Why do you sleep? Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? He's very clear that they have not forgotten God. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread our hands to a foreign god, would not God have discovered it? Says in verse 21. So why has God forgotten them? Well, the psalmist poses one of the oldest questions since the dawn of mankind. Why is it that good people are allowed to suffer? And I want to consider three possible answers to that question that we find both in the psalm and in a very famous passage from the New Testament that is intertwined with it. First point is that the psalm's own title contains part of the answer to the question it poses. I don't know about you, but I don't normally take much interest in who has written a psalm. I tend to think it's a psalm of David, and that is the end of it. But this is one of a group of psalms written by the sons of Korah, a group mentioned by Tom last week. And that would have an immediate significance to the first hearers of this psalm. In the time of Moses, Korah led a group with a very specific role as they travelled through the wilderness and towards the promised land. They had to carry the holy items of the tabernacle on their shoulders. It was hard and difficult work, not least because they could not touch the sacred objects, which had to be wrapped in special coverings. Touch them and you die. They became disenchanted with this. "Let someone else do the legwork. We'd like to spend more time up front doing the more glamorous work of the priests." Finally, it came to a head. 250 of them met with Moses and Aaron to give a list of their demands. Moses said, "Well, very well. We'll see what God thinks about all of this." He prayed, and the ground opened up and swallowed all of the rebels. That's a pretty clear answer. But we're told the sons of Korah were spurred, either because they were too young to understand what their father was doing, or perhaps because they refused to take part in the rebellion. Their experience was that the way to respond to suffering was not to turn away in despair, but instead continue to faithfully walk with God. 7 generations later, the prophet Samuel came from the line of Korah, and in the time of David, the sons of Korah became the worship leaders of their time. When the Ark of the Tabernacle was returned to Jerusalem, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, there alongside him were the sons of Korah, leading God's people in worship and giving thanks for God's goodness. And some of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible are written by those sons of Korah, such as Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. In Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place. Perhaps most relevant of all, given the questions posed in Psalm 44, they wrote Psalm 46, a psalm we'll be looking at later in this series, which begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The first readers of Psalm 44 would have known that the sons of Korah were not just discussing an academic question when they wrote about suffering. Their family knew what it felt like to be rejected and humbled by God. But they would also have known that these same sons had never lost sight of all that God had done for them and for Israel, and that they had continued to trust in his goodness, and that in the end, as it says in verse 7 of Psalm 44, you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. The most famous commentary on Psalm 44 is actually found in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8:36, Paul writes about suffering. And once again, he's not dealing with some sort of abstract problem that he's finding an intellectual solution to. As with the sons of Korah, he writes to someone who knows all about suffering. In 2 Corinthians, he lists some of what he has been through. Danger from rivers, from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And in Romans 8, he takes us back to Psalm 44 when discussing all of the sufferings that followers of Jesus can face, which he knew all so well, and quoting those words from verse 22, we face death all day long, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And he summarizes the questions posed by Psalm 44 in this way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? Before answering his own question, he doesn't for a second deny or dispute that in this world God's people face suffering. In fact, he says earlier in Romans chapter 5, but our sufferings produce perseverance and character and hope. But ultimately, in the context of eternity, We don't just get by in the face of all this world can throw at us. We are more than conquerors. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Suffering is not the final word. God's answers to the questions posed in Psalm 44 but have troubled mankind since the dawn of time are found in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Nicky Gumbel, the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton in London, the person who developed the Alpha Course, tells how he grew up in a family that wasn't Christian. His father was a Russian Jew, and much of his family had been wiped out during the Holocaust in World War II. And he grew up an atheist, believing that a loving God could not permit suffering. And the thing that changed his mind was reading the Gospels, and particularly the words of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he realized that God was not indifferent or aloof from our suffering, but that instead he'd sent his Son to share in our suffering and to show us a way through. COVID-19, which has brought so much suffering to our world, has not made people indifferent to the gospel. If you look at the data for Google searches, since the period of the pandemic, the number of people entering the term prayer into search engines has more than doubled. The registrations for the online version of Alpha have dramatically increased, and this fits in with the tremendously positive feedback we've received about our online Christianity Explored course. The way of the cross means that suffering is not the end, and that as followers of Jesus, we have answers to offer to a world that is searching for meaning, summed up so powerfully, so beautifully, in Psalm 44 and verse 3, which says that in response to suffering, the answer is not found in ourself, but rather in the love of God. It was not their strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm and the blinding love from your face that helped them, for you loved them. Neither Psalm 44 nor Romans 8 offer glib answers to that age-old question of why do good people suffer? Why do I suffer? But what they do say is that God's final word, his ultimate answer, is found in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in a world that is searching, but is more open than it has ever been, God sends us out to share that love with a world that is searching for answers to its questions.
Well, thank you to Peter for bringing us God's word this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear God's word spoken, I'm often challenged and encouraged, and I need time to reflect on what he might be saying to me. Well, we come to that part in our service now where we can unite in using our words to declare who it is that we believe and trust in. So let's say the Apostles' Creed together. The words will be on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're now going to have our prayers from members of our church family.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we do want to thank you that you are our Father, you are our Creator, you are our Lord, our King, and our friend. Father, thank you so much that through the death of Jesus Christ, our Saviour on the cross, we have access to the throne of grace, and that we can come and bring our thoughts, our cares, our petitions to you. Almighty God, we thank you for today. Thank you that we have the opportunity to meet together, even during these times where we cannot see each other face to face. Almighty God, we pray and thank you that due to these great gifts and developments in technology, we can share and enjoy singing together, praying, hearing your word open to us. We thank you for these things. We do pray for our local area of Lutterworth, Bitterswell, Coatsbatch, and the surrounding villages. We do pray that you would bless this area. We pray for our leaders, the leadership team. We pray for wisdom and guidance for them. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit into their hearts as they seek to make decisions and to prepare, and as they lead us in and direct our ways through the ministering of the word. We pray that you would keep them from falling, that you would keep them following your ways and that they would not stray from them. Keep them from temptation. And Father, we pray that they would be good leaders and that they would continue to help us in our faith. We pray that during this summer period, as there's opportunity for holidays, that our leaders would be well rested and be recuperated. We do pray too as we prepare to begin services again in August, and we pray that you would grant wisdom and help to us all as we do that. We do pray for those that will not be able to attend due to circumstances or vulnerability. We pray that you would still greatly encourage and draw near to them, that there would be blessing through this time as well. Father, we pray that you'd help the members of this church here in Lutterworth, Bitterswell, and Coatsbatch. We pray that you'd help us all to grow in our faith, that we would grow to love you more and more. Change our hearts, we pray, to become more like our Saviour, Christ. And we pray that you would use us to minister to those that are near to us, our family, our friends, those in our local community. We do pray for those not far away in Leicester who are facing further lockdown measures. We pray that you would encourage them and build them up, particularly for the church leaders who must be finding this time particularly challenging as they seek to encourage and build up those that are still in this lockdown position. We pray for our nation, we pray for our government, we pray as they make decisions about the future, as they make laws and debate in Parliament about different things that need to be brought into place. We pray for wisdom, we pray for Christian influence there. We thank you that there are members of Parliament who are Christians and faithfully follow you. Help them to be strong in your ways and to raise points when they are required to be your witnesses in that place. We pray for renewal of Christian principles and people to follow after you more and more in this land. We pray for those that are most vulnerable, for the fatherless, for those coming near to the end of their lives, for those with mental health problems, for those who are ostracized due to their circumstances, their culture, or their race, for the unborn we pray to. Father, we pray for our world. We ask that you would encourage those that are Christians in places where it's very hard to be so, for those that are risking persecution and even death for following you. Draw near to them. We think of those in some of the most difficult places, places like North Korea, parts of North Africa, and in the Near East. Father, we do pray that you would encourage them, help them to remain faithful to you. We pray that through their faithfulness that the gospel would shine forth and many more would come to trust you. We do pray for those people that have never heard, of the gospel of Christ. We pray that you would provide opportunities for them to hear and raise up workers to go and minister to them. Father, we do pray that you would bless our world and that your honour, your glory would be shown in all things. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Starting next week is our summer club from July the 27th to the 31st. We are doing it online this year, and this is our holiday club for children aged 5 to 11. And we'd love for children to come and join us. We've got quite a few signed up already. It's the last day for sign up. So if you know of any children, your own or even somewhere else in the country, that's the beauty of it being online, and they might like to come and join us. It's free. Just tell them to sign up at summerclub.co.uk. Also, we, even if you're not involved in it this year or you don't know any children that want to be, we would love for the church family to pray for us that week, to pray that lives would be changed and that the children would have a brilliant week learning more about God. So please do be keeping us in your prayers. But we would also love the church family to come and join us on the Friday at 5 p.m. We are going to do a Zoom picnic and quiz. So you can have a garden picnic or a living room picnic, and you can hear all about what's gone on that week. We, in that time as well, we are going to be doing our quiz, which we were going to do for toilet twinning. Which we'd love to do, twin toilets in our church with toilets in other places where they can't afford them. So we're going to include that all in one together, and we'd love for you to come and be a part of that, raise some money, take part in the quiz, and hear all about what God's been doing through Summer Club. So you can find all the details of that in church news. So please do take a look at that, sign up, and come and join us. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you have enjoyed it and taken something from it as well. Just as we finish though, I'm going to pray these words from Numbers chapter 6. I think I have used them before, but I just love them. So here is a prayer for us all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Well, I hope you have a wonderful week, whatever it is you're doing, and we will see you very soon. Bye-bye.